Okay, welcome back to Canine Nose Time. Catching up with Danielle Leong today to chat about the trial over the weekend and whatever else we come up with. Hi, Danielle.
Hello. All my dogs are currently sleeping, so
It's a great
I'm
time
ready.
to
Yep.
record.
Yep. Let's do it.
Mine is as well, actually. So you entered the Nose Work 2 trial and yesterday competed.
I did enter the Nose Work 2 trial with my golden retriever Rory, and he got his title.
Yay, congratulations.
Yes, I was like so happy actually. Like just walking back to the car after the last search, it was just like, yeah, it was a good feeling.
Yeah, I bet it was. That last search was, I think that stressed a few people out, actually.
Yeah, well, he does that in vehicles because he takes so long to move around the search area. And
Actually,
I thought it was interesting. A couple of people commented about how in ACSW you don't get told if dogs pee in search areas. I hadn't realized that either, actually. But I could tell from Rory that there was some pee in the search area as we were moving around the space.
I was the photographer for, I just took photos in the exteriors element and the vehicles element. So I got to watch all the dogs work that. And I just thought it was the handlers did really well reading the dog pee, because I think it was I don't know, the dog fourth or fifth peed in the search area. And you know, when we're volunteering and watching this, it's literally like, oh my gosh, you wish you could do something. But it actually, all of the teams did really well. I think there was only one other dog that actually ended up peeing as well in the same spot. But otherwise, every other handler read it really well. And yeah, I thought that that was really like it was almost like they didn't need to be told.
No, but that's what I thought was interesting. I actually was like, because I actually think if you're told, it can make you avoid areas. Whereas if you're just like paying attention, like it was really obvious to me at least when Rory was like sniffing pee, I was like, yeah, that's a pee sniff.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, like just that longer behavior, but without any type of final response from the dogs. And I think it would have done more damage to tell people because it was like a meter and a half away from the hide. And that would have, yeah, I agree with you. I think it would have made people ignore the area. And as a result, I think there was a 70% pass rate in
Yeah, it
that,
was
which
pretty
was really
high.
good. So I thought that was pretty good. The teams were amazing in that search,
Yes.
because it was
I wish
very
I could have
distracting.
I wish we could watch what everyone else did in the search.
I know. That's my
It was
cue to call for volunteers, so, because then you get to watch all the hides. Volunteer at your local ACSW trial.
Yeah, so I mean it was pretty stressful. It probably wasn't my best handling day in that and that I think I dropped food in vehicles.
Yeah, you did.
I just kept forgetting to say finish.
Yeah. I think the other thing with the vehicles that I thought was really interesting, and just for people that didn't see it, there was a lawnmower up the top. That was the first vehicle. There was a quite a large gap to a trailer, which is where the hide was. The hide was on the back number plate. And then there was another quite a large gap to a digger. And the digger towards the end of the day started to collect a lot of the odor. But I think people started, they started up at the lawnmower, the ride-on lawnmower, and they all detailed that quite well. Like they all went around and finished clearing that vehicle. And a lot of teams didn't actually do that to the trailer. They hit the trailer halfway down, cleared the front half and the other side, and didn't check the back. And the teams that checked the back didn't run into trouble.
Yep.
All the other teams that did not, you know, fully clear that vehicle before going onto the digger, yep. they got stuck on the digger for quite some time.
That's interesting.
So it was a really interesting search. And I guess the wind was carrying the odor a little bit down to the digger, which is just full metal.
Mm.
But yeah, that was, and from memory, you didn't get stuck down there. I think
I did go down to the digger.
Okay.
But I was kind of guiding Rory around it a bit because he wasn't in odor down there, so I was like, let's just keep moving, Rory. Let's just keep moving. I also was like, actually, here's a question. You know how it was a digger, right?
Mm.
Could you walk underneath the arm part?
Some people did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually got freaked out that, oh, does that count as like
going under the vehicle?
Yes.
Well, a lot of the dogs took people under, like they didn't yeah. really have a choice.
Yeah.
And no, it wasn't a fault.
Yeah.
But I think I remember the moment Rory caught Oda.
Yep.
And like if you'd missed that sort of head turn or head up
yep.
towards the back of the, you know, it, luckily you did it. You saw it and
yep.
followed him right up to the back of that trailer. Yep. But yeah, that was pretty cool.
No, he was actually in all his searches apart from containers, he was super clear with his changes of behavior. And actually I love the vehicle one because he sourced it, he froze just a second, and then he did his little tail wag. And the minute I saw his little tail wag, I'm like, yes, this is it. And it was so good to call it.
Oh, what a relief, hey?
Yeah.
I know. And there were some teams out there, unfortunately, that had passed the whole day and then they missed out on the vehicles.
That would suck.
It's like, yeah, to get so far all day.
Yeah.
It was pretty distracting environment with the grass and everything.
Yeah.
But so the other searches that we had in the morning, there was containers and yeah. there was two hides,
one toy distractor.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good for containers. I think they had a very high pass rate too.
Yeah, and actually that was one that I think Rory struggled in the most. For some reason he just was giving me super wishy-washy alert on one of the containers, and he just took ages. And in fact I kind of guessed when he went back to it. I'm like, oh, is this it? Because he didn't do his freeze alert.
Well, at least you didn't rely on that.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Oh, I also forgot to say I ran the dog in white, so I actually got to run all these searches.
You did. You did.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's, if you ever get the chance to do that, to run the dog in white, to have that trial experience without that sort of pressure, it's really good. And for anyone that doesn't know what the dog in white does, they basically run the searches first to just make sure that there is, you know, no safety issues, that the odor is working, that, you know, it's basically achievable. And then from there, the CO, certifying official, may make some changes to the area. And, you know, and even from yesterday, you know, Jen Gamble was the CO. There was a few sort of little tweaks after she saw the dog in white run. But, you know, helped or hindered some of them are safety issues. the search, which is, yeah, it's really cool. It's a good experience to do too. So after the containers, we went to exteriors, and they were the two searches in the morning. And the exteriors had three hides. What did you think of initially when you heard three hides?
I thought the time limit was okay for it. So it was three hides and it was 3.5 minutes.
Mm.
So that part of it was okay. In the walkthrough, I thought, you know what? It's quite a big search area. Not super big, but big in terms it was kind of around the side of a house. So there were kind of a few little nooks and crannies, quite a lot of objects to check. And I just felt like my dog likes to get a bit stuck and take a lot of time. So I was worried about the time, but it was a fun little search area, actually.
It was. And it was on all like old bricks.
Yep.
Which like you saw it and the first thing you probably think is, uh-oh, there's a ground to hide in these bricks.
Yeah.
But there wasn't, which
No.
is good. It could have been really messy.
I was pumped for ground hide. I like ground hide.
There was a ground hide, it was just in interiors.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I think Jen did a really good job as well of the hide locations because they were all they were different on different levels in that area, and she took into account the sun, where the sun was going to be,
Yep.
and the heat and how that was going to affect that sort of inaccessible hide behind the door.
Yeah, and I was running towards the end of the day. I actually thought it was really cool. Again, I wish I had a video, but I really liked the way Rory worked the exteriors. Especially that the first one he hit, which was the one on the bench. I
Yeah,
think
so
it was that.
I was taking the photos and I
Yeah.
noticed that literally every dog from the start line made a beeline. It was to the dog's right and the handler's right. They made a beeline from the start line to that bench.
Yep.
And it was so consistent that it was obviously Oda that was drawing the dogs over there. And I thought that was really cool because
Yes.
just taking the photo as they come up to the start line. And then the next photo I took was always the dogs darting off to the right.
Yeah, that's
I'm like,
cool.
wow, that like that's information
Yep.
for the handlers. And I'm, they, it couldn't have been anything else but Oda to be that consistent,
Yep.
which I thought was really cool. So from that exterior, then we had lunch break after the lunch was, oops. After the lunch was the two interiors in the vehicles. And they were single hides in each, which was really good. There was a ground hide in the first interior. There was an inaccessible in a cupboard in the second, and the last one was the vehicle search we were talking about before. But they all had really good pass rates.
Yeah, I think everything was over 70%.
Yeah. Which I think that means it's achievable, and that the majority of teams were successful. It just happened that different teams missed in different elements. Okay, so what was your biggest challenge of the day?
I think my biggest challenge of the day was, well, I would say, apart from just getting Rory through the day, I think it was me not remembering to call finish.
So the, and from that's something different in nose work two compared to nose work one.
Yes.
And the reason you have to call finish is to sort of prepare you for nose work three when you have to say finish after an unknown amount of hides. So I thought it was also really interesting because a lot of teams were the same. They either forgot to call finish or they didn't say it loud enough. And I think that's something people really have to remember is they
Man,
have
it's
to say it loud
yeah.
enough for the timer to stop the time.
Yeah. So my biggest challenge was basically just either forgetting completely, which was the case of like the single hide searches, or I was just so relieved to have found the final hide that I was it just went from my mind, which is what happened in containers and vehicles. I just was just like, I was too busy celebrating with Rory and forgot to say finish.
So some people I noticed yesterday, and this is a topic I had a discussion about like a couple years ago, and I remember it was a discussion sort of in America as well, is a lot of people say alert finish together. And I found that really interesting because when I sort of was introduced to the concept of alert, you wait for the judge to say yes or no, and then you say finish.
Yeah.
And so I guess I wanted to see what you thought as well, like the pros and the cons of saying alert, finish, or alert, wait for the judge to respond and then say finish.
So I guess if you're being competitive, it makes the most sense to just say alert, finish. If yes. You're sure it's the final hide. I don't know. It's not. I haven't got up to this stage in trialing yet, so I don't know what is going to work.
Well, I think there's some pros and some cons. And watching the teams yesterday, I even heard someone say that they have been trained and like that's what their instructor has told them to do is to say alert, finish.
Mm.
I guess some of the that for time wise.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to help you out as long as you are really clear.
Yep.
So yesterday there was someone that said alert finish. Nobody heard the finish.
Mm.
Thought she only said alert, and luckily there's video replay.
Yep.
Because one person heard it.
Yep.
But the reason that the judge might not hear it is because they're in the process of saying yes or no.
Exactly. Exactly.
When in response to the alert. So I think that is really something to take into account, particularly if you don't have a, you know, in ACSW we can have a video sort of review, but if you're in AKC you don't have that opportunity. And you know that it, and at some level, and this is me as a judge, I guess the judge in me speaking, is if people are saying alert, you know, I would sort of like the opportunity to tell them they're correct or incorrect,
mm-hmm.
like by with a yes or a no before they say finish.
Yep.
Because there is that sort of miscommunication that happens.
Yep.
And then when someone's saying finish, they don't hear the yes or the no, and then they don't know whether they can reward their dog or not anyway, and they've got to ask again. Like, and that happened a number of times yesterday.
And I guess because for me, the alert is always probably too much a question. Like, it's always alert. Like, alert? Is that it? So I'm waiting for that answer from my brain. Like, so to me, it would make probably the most sense to wait to hear a yes and then say finish. And I would probably have to actually train myself to do that whole alert finish thing.
Yes. And make sure that you don't say it the first time instead of the last.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like people to wait, but I think there's a lot of, you know, competition out there for times and placings, and that's where alert finish.
I try not to get caught up in, it's really nice when you get the placing, but I try to make it not the most important thing.
Exactly. It is nice, and sometimes it's the icing on the cake, but
exactly,
it brings it back to you versus the other dogs, and really we're there for our own dogs.
Absolutely.
Well, at least that's sort of how I like to run my dog.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think I did hear that Rory, if you had the interiors separated and they weren't, the times weren't joined, he would have been like one of the fastest.
I actually think because in interior two, I remembered to say finish and it was 10 seconds.
And yeah, that's pretty fast.
In interior one, I forgot to say finish and I was like just walking out and realized, oh, hang on. And so I wasted about 10 seconds and he was pretty fast in that. So I think if I had remembered to say finish in part one, he would have been up there for the total. But yeah.
And just for context for those listening, Rory is a bit of a plodder. is not gonna be the fastest dog.
I reckon he should always be a dog in white as the pace setter for the course time.
What time is the slowest moving dog going to?
Yeah, it'll be Rory.
It is. And it's not that he doesn't enjoy it, and he does have momentum. It's just that that's how he works.
Yeah, he's just slow, methodical. And he can be fast. He can get it in 10 seconds if he...
He's very economical, really, with his time. Mm. He doesn't waste time faffing around like some of my border collies do. You know, he's straight to odor.
I did see in the exteriors, he looked over at all of you guys watching in the shade, and I could tell in his head, he was like, because he hates the sun. I think he was like, you know what, I'd just rather hang out with everyone in the shade.
Yeah.
That moment where he was like walking towards you guys.
I know, he saw me too. Yeah. He's like, familiar face. Oh, that was funny. It's interesting topic anyway. I'm interested to hear what other people think about the alert finish. And it's probably different if you're a competitor or a judge.
Yeah, and I think it's just like what I need to do is just practice saying it every search, I guess, to just get the habit.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think it's something we're going to start doing more in class.
Sorry, Nettle was just destroying something. And I think, like you say, it gets more complicated when you're working at Nosework 3 level and you're having to make decisions about finishing blank areas, finishing an unknown number of hide areas. So that's a whole other thing.
Well, the difference, like, it's sort of a different skill, really, because Nosework 1, you don't have to say it at all. Alert is all you need because there's only one hide. Nosework 2, you know how many hides. So alert finish may come into it, but that's the only time it really is going to come into it.
Exactly.
Because Nosework 3, you're most likely never to do alert finish.
No, because you need to finish clearing the area.
Yeah. So I guess, so let's just transfer that, say, over to ANKC. So novice, there's no finish. It's just alert.
Yep.
Advanced is alert finish.
Yep.
Excellent, because there's a known number of, oh, no, there's not for interiors anyway.
Yeah, there's the split area in excellent interiors.
Yeah, and so the other elements in excellent would be alert finish.
Yep.
And then masters would be alert, clear your area, then finish.
Yep.
So really it's only at this sort of middle level where people would be alert finishing.
Yeah. I think I just need to train it to say it as I'm finishing the search. Like in my mind, search is finished. I have to say finish. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you know what? I mean, I say it to my dog, which luckily doubles as a call in a search. Yeah. So it's alert, feed my dog, finish, back to the car. You know, like that's sort of just my routine.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's just something we have to put into.
Yeah, I think I just need to get in the habit of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the school of thought, you know, some people never say finish. They want their dog to always be hoping there's more hides.
Yep.
That's a whole nother topic.
Yep.
Oh, dear. Anything else from yesterday?
Let's see. It was a lot of fun. I actually thought all the hides were, it was really well, like the hide locations were all awesome.
There's a lot of thought that goes into that. And you could tell Jen put a lot of thought into those hide placements.
Yeah.
And covered everything that you expect to have in a Nosework 2.
Threshold, corners, elevation. Mm-hmm.
Perimeters.
Yep.
Inaccessible, environment.
Yep.
Yeah, it was all there. It's everything you would hope to see.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with the searches. Especially the single hide ones. They were just really fun.
Yeah, I agree. And Rory liked them. He was in a really good mood after the interiors, and then I brought him back out in the sun for the vehicles. He's like,
sometimes they have to do it for us.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you'd be a little bit, you know, have you come to terms with the fact you can't do another nose work two now? You have to go up to nose work three.
Well, I don't know if it's a good thing that there isn't one anytime soon, because Rory's definitely not ready for that, nor am I. I mean, it was his second attempt at nose work two, so he's had, I feel like he's had enough of a go.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And you know, I've got Nettle coming up who can have fun, and she still needs to do her nose work one, and we can have fun at nose work two with her.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a nose work one next year, April 7.
Cool.
Megan is hosting that one, so that's something to look forward to. I need to confirm the dates for the nose work three, but there will be two of those next year as well.
Okay.
Maybe even three.
Exciting.
Yeah, and there'll be another nose work two as well. So we'll put out the dates pretty soon for next year.
Yep.
Wednesday night, we're recording this on Monday. So Wednesday night we have our Halloween searches at Castle Hill, which will be very exciting. I'm sort of keeping those searches a little bit secret.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to do them.
Me too. I'm excited to see everyone's reactions. And then on Thursday, the registrations will be open for the level one exterior element trial. So
that's opening this week.
Yes.
And that is
December 3.
Yep.
And it will be in sort of the Hills District, around this area.
Yep.
Galston, Dural. We'll confirm that shortly. So that will be, that'll be exciting. I'm going to make sure that's closed maybe 2 weeks before the event, because I do think it is going to go to ballot.
Okay, good.
And that will give people time to know whether they're in or not. That's why I'm opening it up pretty soon.
Yep.
Just to give everyone.
Plus, it's that time of year when everyone has like stuff on.
Yeah, exactly. So I think hopefully 2 weeks will be enough time.
Yep.
We've got a week off classes.
Yep.
So that's nice. Oh, and that's the other one, is the Clove ORT is on the 29th of November. So that's like 4 days before the exterior element trial.
Yep.
So that's hosted by Canine Nose Time as well. I think there's already 32 entries.
Yep.
And I put the limit at 40, so there's still a number of spots if anyone is sort of working towards their Clove. They've got some time there, so still lots of time to enter for that. And that will be on a Wednesday night.
Cool. And did you need volunteers for that?
Yeah, we could do some more volunteers, actually.
And it's always fascinating to watch a bunch of ORTs being run.
I think it's hilarious how great it is to watch 30 dogs run the same 12 boxes.
Yep.
I absolutely love it. And, oh, this one, because we've done the Birch and Anise.
Yep.
And, you know, everybody, it's all new sort of teams coming through, which is really cool. But this one, if people get past this one, a lot of people are eligible to get their nose work one, their ORT title.
Yes.
So they get a pretty ribbon.
A very pretty ribbon.
It is really pretty. So that's some motivation for anyone that doesn't have their Clove yet to have a go.
Yep.
Very good. Well, should we call it there?
Yes. Let's do that.
Thank you very much for joining.
Thanks, Lacia.